Welcome to Bar Study Podcast. We are your hosts, Shade
and Shaniqua.
We are here to discuss all things related to the bar exam.
We are repeat bar takers. Our hope is that by sharing our experience and the obstacles we face on the journey to success, you too will pass the bar exam.
And if you don't, it's okay. You are not alone. Rest, reset, and change your mindset. We use real-world examples like celebrity lawsuits and cultural references
to help break down highly tested subjects and topics that frequently baffle law students, such as the rules against perpetuity.
Join us as we explore the law on Bar Study Podcast. Life and law.
With a cup of libations.
Okay, guys, so let's get into it. Another episode
of Bar Study Podcast. And today we're discussing Trust, Spendthrift Clause, and Soul Food, the movie.
Yes, that's a classic.
It is a classic.
Growing up as a kid, that movie was so good. And the soundtrack was popping.
It was.
Boys to Men.
Cisco.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? It was like the epitome of stay out of grown folks' business.
Yeah, that little boy witnessed so much stuff.
So much. And which brings us to what we're going to talk about today is the kitchen scene. And I know y'all know that kitchen scene.
Mm-hmm.
So before we get into it, though, we're going to let the kitchen scene play.
Yeah, but I just want to preface this by saying my whole life growing up, I thought that Terry was the villain, played by Vanessa Williams. You know, she had that saying, ATM, automatically yeah, Terry's money.
Very elitist, very much, oh, I'm the successful one.
But everybody in the family came to Terry to borrow money. That's how Bird started her business,
yeah,
the hair salon. You know, so, and right now, you're about to hear, they're going to be discussing what's going to happen to Big Mama's house,
mm-hmm,
right? Because Terry is the one paying for everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, this family said it's ATM, automatically Terry's money. Terry tired of this shit, she want to sell the house, let's get into it. Hear the little clip and we'll be back.
Since we're all together here tonight, I feel like this is a good time for us to talk about Mama's hospital bills. And y'all know her insurance ain't gonna cover everything.
What we're talking about, since the five of us are all here, is maybe we can all pitch in, take care of this tonight.
Yes. Well, what about all that money that Mama has stashed somewhere? That's just a myth, Bird. So I felt that Terry and Miles could pay for everything, and then maybe we could pay you all back in installments or something.
Don't you start running that game on me again. What, do you expect me to bail Lem out of jail, too?
Now, come on, Terry. Lem doesn't have anything to do with this, okay?
How we can pay for Mama's bills is by selling the big house.
What? We are not selling the house.
Mama and Daddy saved their whole life for that house, Terry. We can't even agree on anything as small as Sunday dinners. Nobody's paying for the taxes or the utilities except me. And now we can finally put Uncle Pete in a home like we've been talking about for years.
We are not putting Uncle Pete in a home. Mama would kill us.
You are tripping. I'm selling the house.
You're not selling the house.
I am the guardian of her estate. That means I make the decisions.
Come on now, Terry. Listen to what they're saying, all right? Your mama worked hard to keep that house in the family. For everyone. For you and your family.
Oh, fuck the family. The family? I love the family in my house. You know what? The family. Fuck my husband. Yeah, Faith fucked my husband.
Miles.
Terry.
And what are you gonna say, huh?
Terry.
Terry what?
Can we talk about this?
Can we talk about what? Fuck you!
We're gonna stop it there because Terry pulls a knife.
Yeah. We don't want to be a witness to nothing.
Exactly. We're not talking about criminal law right now. That was in the previous episode.
So. As you guys heard, Terry says she is the guardian of Big Mama's estate. For the purposes of this episode, though, we'll talk about trust. And we're going to call her, instead of the guardian, the trustee.
Right. Because, as you know, the bar exam will test you on wills and trust. Estates doesn't come up on the bar exam.
Not often.
So, with that in mind, let us discuss what exactly is a valid trust.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you're going to start an essay on trust, baby, even if you raise it and resolve it, It's a trust essay. You need to talk about what a valid trust is. A lot of times that will not be the issue that's tested. They may want to go into something
specific. Like, the trustee comply with their rights because they have duties and responsibilities. They mm-hmm. may ask you
about a spendthrift clause. Can mm-hmm. they reach the trust? So the issue is not going to be whether it's a valid trust, but you still have to address it. Like, they may just have one line, you know, it was duly probated or whatever,
to let you know it was valid.
So just take that one sentence and say, therefore, it is a valid will. But if they are asking you, what is a valid... Sorry, I said will. I meant trust. But they're asking you, what is a valid trust? Okay. So you have to have a settlor with intent to create a trust. They have to have capacity. The trustee, that's if it's an inter vivos trust.
Which it was in this case, because although Big Mama was in a coma, she was still very much alive.
Right. Ascertainable beneficiaries, trust property, and the trust is formally created when the trust is funded, and it has to have a valid purpose. So a couple things I do want to touch on, because we said capacity, we said trustee if it's inter vivos, and then we also said trust property when funded. So I just want to go back and touch on capacity, because the issue may rest on whether the settler has capacity. So the way I think of capacity is NNN. That's how I think of it. You have to know the nature of your act. You have to know the nature and character of the property. And you have to know the natural recipients of your bounty. That is how you know someone has capacity. Nature of act, nature and character of property, and natural recipients.
That's you also what have you to be to. Over 18 and be of sound mind.
Correct. That's definitely true. Okay, and so now let's touch on the trustee when you have an inter vivos trust. So first of all, what is that? So an inter vivos trust is a trust which is created during the settler's lifetime, and that requires a trustee.
In this case, the settler is Big Mama, and the trustee would be Terry.
Right, because as we discussed, even though she said in the clip that I'm the guardian of her estate, estates are not tested, so for the purposes of this...
We'll call it the trust.
Right, so this is a trust, and Terry is the trustee. Okay, so now, another thing to keep in mind, you have to have trust property. So it is, the trust will be created when it's funded. Mm-hmm. So if you put property in it, if you put money in it, but you can create a trust without anything and you can come back and fund it later, yeah. But that's for another time nor place, right? We'll assume that the trust property in this case is the
Big
house.
Mama's house.
Exactly. And just a couple of other things to note and pay attention. A trust may be oral, okay? There also must be separation of legal and equitable title. So pay close attention when you see a sole trustee and a sole beneficiary and they're the same person. Like, you know, I think I remember like some A&D trust or whatever, and like the trust, one of these famous essay examples where she was the trustee. Mm-hmm. Whatever her name was, her initials were AD. So AD was the trustee. AD was the beneficiary of the trust. But what saved her, what gave separation of equitable and legal title, was the fact that she had like her nieces. They were, they got the trust principal. So the AD received the income. Right. AD received the income from her trust, but then she left the principal to her nieces. So that's what saved her. So just pay attention to that. You cannot be the sole trustee and the sole beneficiary. But if you have, as long as you have other beneficiaries, it's okay. So yes, I can take some of my, because if you think about it, the public policy behind that is like basically, you know, you're putting your money in a trust and you're hiding it so people can't get to it. And that's the perfect segue as we go into the spendthrift clause. Go ahead, Shaw.
Under the UTC and common law, a spendthrift clause is a valid provision that prohibits alienation or assignment of the beneficiary's interest, and it may not be reached by creditors. But we have exceptions to that. Essentially, it protects the beneficiary's equitable interest from creditors. You see, how should they just explain the legal and the equitable? So again, pay attention to that. And those exceptions kind of run down, which is what they could have did. It will probably have been in their best interest to create a spendthrift trust. Now, most people think of that as a way to protect your assets, and it is mostly from creditors. But the reality is that it can be approached. It can be, people can approach you about giving your money because there are exceptions. Now, for the most part, it means essentially a spendthrift trust protects the beneficiary's equitable interest from creditors. Like, and they cannot give their interest away. They will forever get that money that's associated with the trust. Right. But there are very few exceptions when they need creditors. And our main creditor that can come for you, insurance. Why?
Right, because
insurance is a necessity. It's basically the medical care. The insurance company have every right to come after you for the medical care, and it's current. Big Mama, at this time, she's in a coma. They done did all they had to do in regard to you for the surgery. They're going to want their money. And you can't hide from necessities because what? Medical care is necessities. Other necessities include food, shelter, clothing. There's right. other exceptions too, like the government could put a lien. You got to pay that back. Uncle Sam's not playing with you. Child support. And Shade's going to get into the public policy with child support and alimony because let's be real, people make them kids, pay for them kids. And lastly, court judgments.
Right. So, yeah, that's the thing. Like, let's say hypothetically that they even did have a spendthrift clause, right? Mm-hmm. There are exceptions and certain creditors can reach the trust. So, like we were saying, child support, spousal support, and the public policy favors timely and complete payments of child and spousal support that was rendered in a judgment of a court. So that you have to take that into consideration. If you have child support or you have spousal support, this is something that it was a decision by a judge in a court. So of course the courts are going to honor the judgment from another judge, from their peer. So of course, so you have to understand that. And then another thing, which a lot of people just kind of look at a spendthrift clause as like this blanket of protection, like you can't touch my money. However, pay attention to your trust income, because once you receive a payment, once the beneficiary is in receipt of trust income, that's no longer in the trust. It's in your bank account. I wired you the money. I cut you a check. That's no longer in the trust. It's not an AD trust. It's in your bank account. It's in Shaniqua's bank account. So remember that. So when it comes to your present interest, which is trust income, okay? Creditors may make a claim against the beneficiary's present interest, trust income, once the beneficiary is in receipt. However, the trustee is not required to reach into the trust to make such distributions in satisfaction of the beneficiary's debt.
Long story short, is once that trust money is dispersed to you, you are still responsible for those debts and obligations. But let's say your credit card company can't roll up to Terry and be like, yo, Max owes me this and I need my money. That's not going to happen. But the minute Terry pays out something to Max, then they could come for their money once Max has it in her possession.
Correct. Now, your future interest, which is trust principal, they can't touch your future interest.
That's the protection, basically.
But your present interest, once it's paid out, present interest equals trust income. Future interest equals trust principal. Trust principal is kind of just sitting there. You know, it's going to, so they can't touch it. But your present interest, what you're being paid annually or monthly, once it is dispersed to you, they can get it. So understand that. But spendthrifts are, you know, pretty highly tested. I mean, yes, I've come across that a couple times.
And they won't even say spendthrift. Essentially, they'll say the trust is going to pay this person's necessities, standard care, give them an allowance to cover their basic needs, right? Mm-hmm. If you see that, and then you'll see them coming to ask the trustee to pay for some, for example, got a loan from a friend and they want the trustee to pay that $50,000 to the friend, that's a no-go. Think of it as a spendthrift trust because it's not a necessity. It's
right.
not a legal obligation. It's not a court order. It's not child support. It's not a lien. So, no. But if she paid out and received, let's say, $2,000, the friend could come for that $2,000 when it hits the bank account.
That's right. Just think about it. It's something that's a court order. Child support, that's a court order. Spousal support, that's a court order. Tax lien holders. Obviously, if you get a lien, you've gotten a judgment, and then you've taken it to the appropriate, you know, office to then have a lien put against someone's property or interest. So,
and necessities, let's be very clear,
basic necessities.
The courts only have about 4 basic necessities. That's food, that's shelter, that's clothing, and that's medical care.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. There are no other necessities. They do not care about your standard of living, and you feel like you need to go on 3 vacations a year. That's not a necessity.
Right. And then, you know, and again, these are providers. Right? So if they've provided you with a service, they should be compensated for such.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Also, lawyer fees. The lawyers are able to get their fees from the trust if they're the ones that administrate, you know, the trust or work for the trust.
Mm-hmm.
They deserve to get paid, too.
Yeah. So, essentially, again, just remember what the elements are for a valid trust. Again, even if you see that that's not what they're asking you, just give it one sentence, raise and resolve. If they tell you in the facts that this person has a valid trust, it comported with all the rules, then just take that one sentence and say they have a valid trust.
Yeah, there's no need to go into it.
There's no need to go into it. But if they are specifically asking you,
is this a valid trust?
Right. You know, you have to, again, settler with intent to create a trust, capacity. You need a trustee if it's an inter vivos trust, meaning it was created at the during the time of the settler's life while they were still alive. Ascertainable beneficiaries. I have to, either it's a class of people or you're naming someone specifically, I need to know who they are. If I can't determine them, then that's one of the elements that's not met, therefore it's not valid. Trust property. Yeah, you can create a trust, but I remember there was a question where somebody created a trust and then they later funded it. So the question was, when was the trust created?
When it's funded.
When it was funded.
It has to have property, it has to have some kind of asset associated with the trust.
And that person has to, again, manifest that intent. You have to say, like, okay, I am going to fund it. What am I funding? I'm funding the trust that I created 5 years ago. You have to have that intent again. So you just have to be careful of stuff like that. And then a valid purpose. What is the purpose of the trust? Because don't forget, too, a trust is, once it's fulfilled its purpose,
it's done. It's finished.
There you go.
So if it was to take care of a child until a certain age, when that child reached that age, the trust is ended. The child gets whatever's left in the trust, and that's it.
Yep. And on that same example, the AD trust, remember I said that trust may be oral. So I remember in that same essay that when she came and funded the trust, she didn't put anything in writing. She just came to her friend's house, was like, here, take this jewelry and keep it for my niece to fund her education. So she was talking to her, but she was reviving her intent, and she was saying, here, I'm funding it, you keep this for her, meaning you're the trustee, this is the purpose of the trust, and this is my intent. She was doing all of that essentially again.
Yeah, but orally.
But orally, and it counts. It counted. And so then I remember them asking, when was the trust created? And then was the trust created for her niece? Was it valid, or did it have a valid purpose? And yeah, it did, because it was for her education. So I remember that very clearly. And then again, I remember during my practice doing an essay, and there was a woman who made herself the sole trustee and the sole beneficiary. And then she was like, you know what? Let me add my nieces. And that was her saving grace.
Yeah.
Because had she not added her nieces,
the government would be like, hey, lady, what did you do? You trying to hide your money from us?
Exactly.
You trying to run out here and run up debt and not pay what you owe?
Right. Which is, again, going back to the spendthrift clause, that's why they have that public policy where, no, certain debt the creditors can reach the trust, because that's what people do. They hide money in a trust. That's how wealthy people get down. They don't give things to their children in a will, because a will can be contested.
It can also, it's estate taxes is associated with that, because if the government has to come in, there's no will, and they got to go to probate. Don't think that the courts are not going to get their pay for helping split this down the middle to figure out who gets what. They're going to charge you for that.
Right.
It's not free.
So that's why there is the stress that there needs to be a separation of legal and equitable title, because a lot of wealthy people will try to hide money in a trust, and they know they will put in a spendthrift clause or provision, and they know people can't touch it. But that's why there's that public policy. Certain things you cannot run from. You cannot run from, like Shaw said, you make babies, you have to take care of them. You had a wife and she was a stay-at-home mom, and she has no job, no skills. You have to take care of her. That's just how it works. So certain obligations, right? You can't just be going to get surgery and then have all these medical bills and stuff, and then you don't pay them.
Crowd poverty, but getting $3,000 a month from your trust. Like, they're going to come for you.
Exactly. So just know that, and just really pay attention. Trusts are pretty easy.
Yeah. It's just realizing what the elements are that go into the particular trust.
Right.
And it just, I recommend really looking at the essays, because they don't really change that much. And you'll be able to know exactly what kind of trust they're talking about, about what's in there. For example, we say, you know, someone left money for their two children, they handle their basic needs, or they handle, you know, their monthly expenses.
Mm-hmm. Once you see a creditor trying to access, you know that's going to be a spendthrift.
Yep, absolutely.
And, you know, we will definitely discuss some other topics within trust that are also highly tested. They love to ask you about revocable, irrevocable trust. They
discretionary trust.
Right, charitable trust. Yes, they love to ask you about that.
We're trying to keep this real bite-sized for y'all.
Mm-hmm. So we'll come back and we'll do another episode, and we'll talk more about it. But hopefully this was helpful to you. Hopefully now you know what a valid trust is. I mean, the way I think about it with the bar, because I just took it in July, and I'm telling you, like, the way I feel about it is just, it should be automatic. It should be in your sleep. Mm-hmm. You should be studying to the point where if this... It's just like, okay, this is what a will is. This is what a trust is. This is what this is. This is a contract. It should come to you very secondary, very second nature, because they can only test you on a finite number of topics. We know what those topics are, and you don't need to feel surprised or anxious when you see a question. You should have you should have an aha moment. Oh, thank God. Like, I got this, you know? Mm-hmm. Because that's how you have to be. Because remember, you only have 30 minutes to do this essay. You're under time constraints. Your nerves are pumping and jumping. You're anxious. Your palms are sweating. Your knees weak. Mom's spaghetti. You know, I'm sorry.
Also, make sure you pay attention to what the actual essay question is. Because a lot of times when it comes to wills, trust, estates, etc., they'll throw in what the applicable statute is and tells you. So that's
awesome. Yes, they will give you the statute.
So definitely pay attention to what's there.
Yep. And, you know, guys, I hope this was helpful. I hope you learned something. And, yeah, come back and join us. And
yeah.
Also, we almost forgot to talk about our featured drink. Because this is love, you know, this is life, law, and libations, baby.
Yes. And, you know, my standard go-to is my honey jack and ginger ale. I mean, it's an old friend. It's smooth. It's refreshing. But, you know, it's also brunch time. So my girl is over here drinking.
It is not brunch, girl. It is clearly the afternoon, okay?
It is brunch.
It is clearly after 12. So, yeah, also, I just want to let y'all know what I'm usually drinking my Jameson, but I'm fancy Redbreast single pot still Irish whiskey, aged 12 years, okay? Triple distilled and matured in the finest oak cask. It's got a little red, little bird on it. He cute. But yeah, Redbreast. Mm-hmm. Enjoy, y'all.
Yes, have a great day.
Until next
time. Get that little love, libations, and life together.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, don't be hiding your money from creditors unless you do it right.
And it's a wrap, folks. That was a lovely, lovely episode of Bar Study Podcast.
You can catch us on Instagram at Bar Study Podcast.
And our email is barstudypodcast@gmail.com.
And you can follow me at theratchetprofessional.com.
And
And remember, folks, we do not give out legal advice. Good night.